Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Hi, who are you?
That's my question.
Who are you?
I'm your father. Scott Rogers.
Yeah,
what are we here for?
You're not going to ask me?
Ask you what?
What my name is?
What is your name?
My name's Evelyn Rogers.
Wow, it's funny. I have a daughter named just that, too.
Wow, crazy.
What a crazy coincidence.
That's so funny. Well, does your daughter do a podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things?
Sometimes.
What's it called?
Something and Father.
Hi, this is a podcast.
Fillory and Father.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
All right, you found the right one. Congratulations, you win.
You did it. You won the prize.
Hooray, you did it.
You did it. The fetch quest is over.
Yeah, is the key quest over?
The key quest is not over. We're not at the end of the season.
When can the key quest be over?
Episode 13.
What episode are we on today?
Episode 7 of season 3.
We're only halfway there.
Yes, only halfway there.
What is this episode called?
Poached Eggs.
By Joshua Butler.
Hey.
It's a Josh episode.
It's a Josh episode. With no Josh. But he's mentioned.
Oh, great.
He's in the periphery.
There's not any Josh in this episode.
His presence is sorely missed. It's like Two Towers, where you don't really see Saruman, but he's just like, he's hanging out. Well, you do actually see him.
How is Josh like Saruman?
I'm just saying, like, his vibe is there the whole time.
His Joshiness. There's some mention of Josh. But it's not like everybody going, gosh, I really miss Josh.
No one misses Josh.
Aw, poor Josh.
That's addressed in 2 more episodes.
Is it?
It is.
I have to wait 2 more episodes Josh?
But the next 2 episodes are really good.
All right, well, at least this episode had the other most important character in the magicians.
Todd.
That's Todd.
Well, you know.
No, I don't know.
You know.
Let's just go.
You don't
right
know?
Into this.
You don't know?
Come on. Let's do it. Q is right about Penny. I wrote.
Okay. Well,
and then I wrote,
that's not the first scene.
Dragons are portals thing is bullshit.
They already talked about that before.
And then I wrote, entitled Millennial Bullshit.
It's
that's
not
mean.
That is very mean, but
then
we're
I
not,
wrote,
no, stop going through all your notes.
She's been dead before.
Stop going through all your notes.
Then I wrote, they should have made that an episode.
Stop. So, we see Margo, Elliot, and Tick. They are running away from Fillory. They're going to go to Earth and hide the fairy eggs there in order to have leverage to negotiate with the fairy queen.
Right.
And Margo tells Tick, just pretend like we have chicken pox or something and no one can see us because, you know, we're contagious.
Right. Good plan.
Yeah. And
that always goes so well.
Yeah. And apparently the floaters, because of Margo's marriage to Fomar, think that they are
own the joint.
They own the joint. And so they've been pillaging villages and stuff.
Right.
Which will come back later.
Yes. They will get their comeuppance.
So Elliot says the only thing that will work against the queen is extortion. So that's just what they're going to do.
Good, bad plan, Margo.
Yeah. Well, Elliot's plan.
It works, but
yeah.
Not great.
But Q and Poppy meet up with them at the clock tree, and they come out on the other side, and they find Alice foaming at the mouth on the ground, because per last episode, that's where we left her.
She's a foamer.
Foamer? She's Fomar?
She's Fomar.
In a wig?
No.
No.
Thank God we don't see Fomar this episode.
He's Garbage Boy. Shout out to that actor. Great actor. Garbage Boy.
Yes.
Terrible
person.
But they go and get Alice, and they fix her up, and she's better. And it turns out that the body's been reacting badly to the magic transplant.
She cannot handle the magic.
Yes, it's like a kidney transplant, but when your body rejects it, they're like, this isn't my organ. Get out of here.
And then we find out that Todd has donated a kidney.
No, that's later.
Oh.
You silly goose.
I'm just doing this whole episode in the order that I think it should happen.
Maybe you should come and play my game with me.
What's your game?
I'm doing a GURPS version of The Magicians.
And what time period is it set during?
Time period? Well, we're playing from episode one, season one onwards.
So you're just doing every
session is going to be a new episode.
Right.
And I'm taking notes from the whole show.
And how off the rails has it gone so far?
Well, it hasn't started yet because I've been so busy with everything else related to school.
What are you so busy with?
I have two fucking shows coming out, like, this Friday. What? AKA when this podcast episode comes
out. And can people watch these shows somewhere?
Yes. There's going to be a YouTube premiere.
Yeah. And what are they about?
It's, it's the Moorpark College's Student 1X.
This isn't a Moorpark College podcast.
No, it isn't.
People don't want to hear about your personal life. They want to hear about the magician show.
Uh-huh.
But good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I directed one and I wrote one.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty cool. But you can go see the show that I directed. It's called Green Tea and Cinnamon, and we have a website for it because it's like a interactive experience.
Right.
It's greenteacinnamon.wordpress.com. So if you want to like go see our show,
I feel like
that'd
we're already at the end of the episode.
We're not.
Where can they
find
you
online? We're not.
All right.
Instead, we see that Dean Fogg is like, okay, I can get you to someone who could probably help you because they have magic reserves, and it's Irene, I almost said Irene Adler, that's Sherlock Holmes, Irene McAllister, beautiful woman,
who bought the school,
and Fogg's pissed at her about that.
Well, they could have turned it into an amusement park, and to be honest, I think I would have preferred it as an amusement park.
But Julia's like, please,
what kind of rides would go in if you had break bills? The amusement park,
student suicides,
yeah, like the drowning pool,
how many people have died on campus,
right? What else? No amusement. Uh-huh. What kind of
would be the amusement? It'd just be depressing the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, these are all our teachers that have violated the Title IX stuff and have like had sex with students.
So
and
is
done
it a
inappropriate things.
Or Omnimover?
Here's a ghost. Here's a ghost that's terrorizing students. Here's the school pervert.
It's a haunted mansion, but it's just one pervert.
It's just Hyman.
He's just constantly checking you out.
Ugh. And then it's just like, and here is the horticultural section. Here's Professor Hamish. He's the best. We love him.
But,
and that's
He's the
only good teacher there, honestly.
But who would be, like, the school, like, if you had a mascot of a theme park, like
it's a
Mickey
key
Mouse?
And bee. So it's like a bee.
So it'd
with
be a giant
key.
Bee.
With a key.
With a key. So that would be a giant mascot of a key.
Yeah.
I mean, of a bee.
Of a bee.
A key bee.
A kiwi. A kiwi.
Yes, a kiwi, huh? Mm-hmm. I think somebody should draw what the mascot of Breakbills.
It's just a bee with a key.
Right, but
wearing one of those graduation caps.
But then, you know, the school's been around for like a bazillion years, right?
It's a real bee that talks.
Right, what I'm saying is, though...
Or it's a key transfigured into a bee.
Somebody has done an anthropomorphic bee mascot of some sort,
that's
right?
That's just...
Kind of like in World War II, the fighting sea bees.
Dad.
Maybe it looks like one of those,
Dad,
right?
That's just the bee movie.
That's... Well, then maybe
Jerry
that's
Jerry Seinfeld
maybe
is their
Maybe their
mascot
is that bee.
Jerry Seinfeld is their mascot.
No, not Jerry
Barry
Seinfeld.
B. Benson
there
is their
Barry
mascot.
Barry B. Benson. It's not Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, that's who voices
Jerry
him.
Jerry Seinfeld is not a bee. There's not.
How
like,
do you know he's
driving
not a
bee? In cars with
how
a bee?
How do you know
and
he's
coffee.
Not a bee? How do you know he's not piloting a meat suit?
Like the Men in Black movie, where
yeah,
he's like
he's
a little
a bee,
tiny,
a tiny
bee,
bee inside
driving a Jerry Seinfeld.
And
well,
it's
he's
key
done,
wound, and that's where the key comes
he's
in.
He's done very well for himself. That's. What he's done as a bee.
That's why he's always buzzing.
You gotta admire that, right? Uh-huh. That bee has become the world's most famous
a
television
B-list
star.
Actor.
Television star of the 90s of must
uh-huh.
see TV.
Uh-huh.
Must be TV.
Right. Yeah.
That's my dad joke for the week.
Okay.
Then
Julia
something,
needs magic.
Something,
no,
Julia.
No,
Penny.
No,
something,
shut
something.
Stop. So then Q approaches Penny and says, hey, we need to get into the library. Can you go down to the underworld?
Oh,
and,
yeah, big ask.
Yeah, huge ask. And
Poppy
listens
in
to the conversation Quentin has and says, hey, you know, there's a dragon that connects the underworld to the living world. It's called the Bookworm. And it takes...
I mean, that's clever, but let me check my...
back and forth, so...
Let me check my notes here. This Dragons as Portals thing is bullshit.
Okay, whatever.
It's stupid. Why does a dragon have to be a portal?
I mean... Don't you want to crawl inside a dragon's mouth and go somewhere else?
No, I don't want to crawl inside a dragon's mouth and go somewhere. That's stupid.
The somewhere else is called their stomach.
Yeah, no, I don't. I read Peter Pan. I already know how these things end.
Uh-huh.
Right? You don't want to crawl into any reptile's mouth. That is my fatherly advice for this episode. if some sort of crocodile or giant anaconda or a dragon says, hey, crawl in my mouth, it'll be fine.
My mouth.
Guess what you say.
No, thank you.
Exactly.
I do not consent.
And you never smile at a crocodile.
Uh-huh. Do you smile at a dragon, though?
No, you don't. Dragons...
You smirk.
You just smite.
You don't smirk.
You smite them.
You smite them?
You smite them and take their gold.
No.
And rescue the princess.
That's just stealing from their house.
Well, no, they stole it from other people.
But there's, you're still stealing.
It's re-stealing.
Re-stealing?
Is it really theft if you're stealing something back?
Ah.
If
yeah.
somebody steals, like, your car... And then you
steal
and then
it back?
You do some sort of heist to get your car back. Is that stealing or are you just taking back what's yours?
Hey, I mean, yeah, that works.
Right?
Yeah.
So there we go. Justification.
Yeah.
Woohoo,
but...
we've solved another ethical quandary here on Fillory and Father, the show for magical ethical quandaries.
Uh-huh. But Quentin says, hey, why don't you be the book and we can throw you down the book chute into the dragon?
That's, again... Quentin, what is with these lame brain plans? You know why he's got so many lame brain plans?
Because he reads only fantasy books?
Wrong, because the writers of this show are stupid.
Well, but then they have to find another traveler in order to physically get to the library, the satellite library, which
oh,
is the one
God
that's
sake,
in the Cheerio
why don't they
system.
Just use the... Go
Penny
through the clock.
Dead. Penny is dead. No, they can't go back to Fillory because
why
that's
not?
Where the
they
fairies are.
They just went back from Fillory
that's
and back
that's
again.
That's where the fairies are.
So what?
And they're not fucking with the fairies.
The fairies. How many fairies are there?
There's so many. They're occupying the whole palace.
We've only seen four.
Yeah, you know, they got a tight budget. but they find... Well, but... Poppy mentions that she knows Victoria.
Don't get me started on Poppy.
And
Victoria. I do not like fake Poppy.
Well, Victoria is the traveler that they saved from the beast,
right.
From the invisible castle a long time ago.
They was tied
up. So they
up
go to find
Penny
her.
Saved.
Yeah. So then we
and she's
see,
looking a lot nicer, by the way. I think she looks better.
Oh, Victoria.
Up.
I mean, she's not like sallow.
Was
and,
it the same actress?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't have malnutrition anymore from being kept in a dungeon for years.
Who's keeping her in a dungeon? The Beast?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, the
I don't
Beast.
Know. This seems so long ago. How many seasons ago was that?
Oh my God.
Two whole seasons.
Two whole seasons ago. But then we see Julia and Dean Fogg, and he's like, you know, I don't understand you because so long ago you fought through a whole memory spell in order to get magic, and now you're just giving it up. You know, I'm just gonna file this under like entitled millennial bullshit, which is like, shut up, dude.
Well, first of all, you're an entitled millennial, so. Obviously, you'd be offended by that.
I'm not a millennial.
All right, that's true. You're not. What are you?
I'm a zillennial.
No, you're not. You were born in the millennium.
I'm a zillennial,
your
though.
Your birthday
it's like, that's
is
like,
in
it's like
2001.
It's 1998 to 2001.
Yeah, you're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm a zillennial.
No, that's not a zillennial.
Yeah, it's the in-between.
No, there's no in-between.
It's
you
the
either
in-between.
Are or you're not.
It's the in-between.
You're a millennial. But you're not entitled. That's at least you
oh,
have that going
okay.
for you.
Okay, thanks. But I think it's very rude of him to
well,
say.
Well, I think it's
because,
rude for them to say
I mean,
that
the
about
reason, the reason that Julia wants to give up her magic is because she was sexually assaulted by a
true.
Magical being and is having, you know, PTSD-related
but
flashbacks
didn't
about it.
The queen of the underworld say that it was hers and she should
yes,
own it?
Yes, but she still hasn't kind of, like, really realized that until the end of this episode,
oh,
you know?
Okay.
She doesn't own that power until later.
Right.
But and at this very moment, she just wants to take time for herself and actually cope and try to recover instead of being in this constant state of trauma and reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why she wanted to give it up. So then it's just kind of like, you know, Fogg doesn't know everything, obviously. And I don't think she's told him that, but it still sucks to hear because, you know, we as the audience know the truth. And we're like, yo, that's a shitty thing to say.
That is.
Fogg
is become increasingly an unpleasant character on this show.
Well, he's just drunk all the time now, so
yeah, but like
it sucks.
But you'd think that the writers would be like treating him even more poorly than the other characters, or like even try and kill him or something.
No,
What?
No.
Why
no? No.
I mean, what purpose does he serve other than to just...
He's got his nice voice.
Okay.
We can't give him up. He's got a beautiful voice.
Can't give him up with that voice.
He's got a beautiful voice. All Shout right. out to Rick Worthy. What All a right. man.
Good job.
Good job with the voice. But the magic fits Julia. It doesn't fit Alice. And so it's, you know, being rejected.
Is it too small or too big?
I think it's just, again, it's like a, you know, like an organ transplant.
Just the wrong flavor?
Just the wrong flavor. Right. Yeah. But then
what do you think magic tastes like?
Magic tastes like? Yeah. I don't know. Actually, that'd be something really cool to explore.
The
like
taste
a magic.
You
know, like a magician that has, like, synesthesia, and then they can, like, because, you know, they, like, they'll see colors and taste sounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what would that be like?
I think magic tastes chalky.
Chalky?
Like a Necco wafer.
Maybe Dean Fogg's magic.
No, I think in general. Magic is like a Necco wafer where it's like chocolatey, but not a great chocolate.
Uh-huh.
You're like, this tastes good?
Like
question mark?
Like expired chocolate?
No, not like expired
chocolate.
Or like
chocolate. Old chocolate.
Have you ever had a Necco wafer?
Yes, I have. I have.
Did you have the regular flavor or the chocolate flavor?
The chocolate one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe it tastes like grandma candy.
Grandma candy? But grandma candy is good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
The
like
ribbon
the,
candy?
The strawberries, they're fucking delicious.
No, those little strawberries are fine. But the... No, I'm talking ribbon candy.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had ribbon candy?
Yeah.
And it's like it all sticks together.
Yeah.
There was this lady that my mom and grandma used to go visit, and they had a big bowl of that ribbon candy, and they'd always like, do you want that candy? And as a kid, your kid instincts are like, I want candy. But as then when you taste that candy, you're like, maybe I don't want that. Maybe not all candy is good candy. I think that's a good life lesson.
It's a
lesson.
Matter of taste.
I think that's a life lesson, is that not all candy is good candy.
That is true. That
what
is
your
true.
Favorite candy?
My favorite candy? It depends on the day, honestly.
Yeah. What? Well, today.
Today?
Today is a Tuesday. No, Wednesday.
Today?
No, it's a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday.
What candy is for Evelyn on a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Something chocolatey.
Like Zoo Fudge?
No.
Come on, how can you never say no to Zoo Fudge?
Well, we don't have any more in the house.
I know. What happened to it?
We ate it all.
You ate it all?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will send us some Zoo
no,
Fudge.
No, we're not going to go back to the zoo to go get Zoo
we'll
Fudge.
We'll just have to go to Disneyland.
No,
get
we're not going to go
Disneyland
to Disneyland.
Fudge. It's open now.
No,
I
we're
could
not
go.
Gonna go.
It's just down
no,
the street.
No. But
yes.
We see Elliot and Margot. They've come back to Earth. And we see Fenn, Frey, and Todd. Because
Todd
took them on a trip to Times Square.
Yes, wait. Let me see my
Where they saw
notes.
Cats.
Yes, but it's just painted humans.
It's
and
just painted
buttholes.
Humans in grease paint. And
they should have made that an episode. I think they could have had a light-hearted musical, even. I would even tolerate a musical episode.
Singing Cats.
Singing all the different Broadway
like
hits.
Like Skimbleshanks, the Railway Cat?
No, not that one. That song sucks.
That's the best song.
No, that's not the best song.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, how does that one go?
Skimbleshanks, the Railway Cat, the cat of the railway train.
No, that's definitely not the best song.
It is. There's fast part, but I don't know it.
No, the best song is Midnight and the Kitties Are Sleeping.
Memory, you mean?
No, not that song.
That's the
My
song.
Song.
The that's
Kitties
the
song
Are Sleeping that Grizabella the Glamour Cat sings.
You mean Grizabella the Suicidal Cat?
No, what the fuck?
She wants to go to heaven. The whole plot of that is the cat wants to kill himself.
No, it's a metaphor. It's based off of like 12 poems.
A metaphor of what?
I don't know.
Metaphor of suicidal cats?
The big cat box in the sky.
That movie sucked, by the way. And you made me watch it.
You're welcome.
That was the last movie I ever saw.
You're welcome.
If I died tomorrow, the last movie I would have ever seen
in
a movie
theater
was
Cats.
Yes, that is the worst thing ever.
The last movie I saw in a theater was Sonic.
Yeah, that's almost as bad. Almost.
Almost.
At least the
as
effects,
bad.
At least the digital
Sonic was a fun time.
Was better looking.
But this is not a Cats or Sonic podcast.
Well, it could be a Sonic Cats podcast.
A Sonic Cat, a Cat, yeah. a Sonic Cats
a Sonic
podcast.
Cats.
That's just like Warrior Cats.
is that?
Fast-moving cats fighting all the time.
What is a warrior cat?
Do you not know the warrior cat novels?
Is that like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
No, they're about like wild and house cats that like have tribes and fight and have wars and stuff. And
this
it's
is
very,
not a warrior
it's
cat
very
podcast.
In depth. I've never read them, but I have
but
seen.
Yet you know everything about
but
it.
But I have seen animations that like 12-year-olds have made, and they're all very involved. It's pretty cool.
Is this like a recent book series?
It was around when I was a child.
Did they
very
make a,
popular.
Did they make
there's
a TV
a whole
series
bunch of
out of it?
No, there's no TV series.
It sounds like a missed opportunity.
Maybe they should make an animated Warrior Cats series.
Maybe the
I know several people would be interested
maybe
in that.
Maybe the producers
of
the
Magicians should make
a Warrior Cats show. But the problem is then all the cats would be suicidal and on drugs.
Oh, jeez. Or they'd explode.
Yeah, that's true. They
yeah.
Explore.
But Frey, back to not cats, just the human cats on Broadway, Frey says to Elliot, you know, I think I might grow to despise you less with time, which is basically like a huge thing of approval for him. It's a win. It's a win for Elliot.
If you said that to me, I'd still be sad.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'll despise you less with time.
In time?
In time.
Me sad.
Oh well, that was so quiet. Margot says, "Hey Todd, watch these fairy eggs. Don't let anyone. Don't let Frey look
just
at them.
Don't Todd it up.
Don't Todd it up." Then we see Whitespire. They go back to Whitespire. There's feathers everywhere because Tick was like, "I had to make the chicken pox believable." there's a problem because. Yes. A bunch that apparently Felorians have been killing floaters, and there's a bunch of floaters on pikes, and it says death to floaters.
It's a pretty convenient way to get rid of those floaters.
I mean, now they're technically floating.
No, they were just dangling.
Dangling.
Maybe they should change their names to danglers.
But then we see the fairy queen, Candace Cain. What a woman. Ugh, love her. She's so great. They want the fairy queen's bathtub. And she's like, why my bathtub?
Wait,
weren't
they
going to
try and poison her bathtub? Whatever happened with that plot line?
It didn't go according to plan. They couldn't scrape the fairy dust off of the hall.
How much fairy dust do you need to scrape off a wall to put into
a
bathtub?
They need a whole bunch. It's like a bath bomb. You gotta make a bath bomb.
But if you put so much of it in there, wouldn't you notice that the tub water is different? And then you'd be like, I'm not going to take that bath.
Hopefully they would not notice it. But she... Margot says, I want to give your bathtub to all of Fillory because we have your kids, and this is the only way you're going to get your kids back is if we, you know, get this bathtub. And if everyone in Fillory can see the bathtub, then everyone will be able to see the fairies because they'll be going into a fairy deal.
Oh, wait.
The whole
stop.
Of Fillory would be going into a fairy deal so they would be able to see the fairies.
Right.
Because that's
okay.
What happens
when
you go into a fairy deal.
The bathtub was there before the fairies.
The queen appropriated it.
Right.
Stole.
So they
she
would
stole
have
it.
Already
now stealing
seen
it back.
The
no,
bathtub.
No.
Yeah. Because it would have just
the
been. It would have just been a bathtub with
no,
water in it.
No, now she owns the bathtub.
Who owns it?
The fairy queen.
No, she doesn't.
She has control of the bathtub. They're getting control
they
of the bathtub
control
back
the bathtub.
Again.
Bathtub.
It doesn't matter.
All
the
right,
whole point is that they're trying to make the Felorian citizens see the fairy so that everyone knows that the crown is being manipulated.
Cockamamie plan. All right, let me ask you a question then.
Yes. What?
You use the toilet every day.
Oh, my God.
Do you own the toilet?
No.
You don't, right?
Well.
And the toilet existed before you got here.
Why are we talking about this?
Because I think that the whole concept of
anyway,
the ownership of
we
the
see
bathtub
Irene
is
McAllister,
flawed.
And she's the one who bought Break Bills, and she's got limited reserves of magic, but she agrees to do it to give Julia magic for a favor. And we see Todd and Frey, and he's like, oh shit, you weren't supposed to look in here. And she said, yeah, you said don't look specifically in this cubbyhole, so of course I'm looking in the cubbyhole.
Why didn't they lock it up?
He didn't even lock it, he didn't even close the door to it.
He just left it open. No, they opened it up.
No, I think it's funnier if he just left it open, and it was just open the whole time, and he was like, don't look at it.
No, that's don't, not what Todd's
don't
not that dumb. Don't make that face about my Todd.
Your Todd? Are you going to write a fan letter to Adam DeMarco?
Maybe we can get him on the show. We've already got Hail Appleman and Sergio on.
Maybe.
Hey, Todd DeMarco.
That's not his name.
What's his name?
Adam DeMarco.
It should be Todd DeMarco. No. Todd. Hey, no. Todd, if you listen,
no.
Call us.
No.
I'm doing that hand thing.
But Todd tells, he's like, hey, you know, maybe they just took it for their own reasons. And maybe it was a mix-up. Because, you know, one time I donated my kidney for a transplant, but it wasn't actually for a transplant. It was for my girlfriend who just used it and stole it from me.
What do you do with a kidney?
What do you do with a kidney? You can make it into food. You could sell it on the black market.
Yeah, you don't have very long to sell it, though.
Yeah,
that's true. Gotta act fast.
Yeah. But Fenn says, hey, Frey, I'm sure this is a huge misunderstanding. Your dad's gonna explain everything. You know, family is about loyalty. He probably did it for a good reason. He did not do it for a good reason. But then we see Poppy, Quentin, and Victoria. Poppy opens the door and says, hey, Victoria! Door slammed in her face.
Yep.
Because
nobody likes her.
Josh.
Nobody likes fake Poppy.
Well, Josh slept with Poppy while he was dating Victoria.
Wow.
That was
a bad move, Josh.
Victoria's mad at Poppy for that. Again, signs that Josh is a garbage man.
Josh cheating in the on his show girlfriend. Is a garbage man.
Yes, he is.
Josh in the book is wonderful.
Josh in the book, I love that man. I love book Josh. I'd get down on one knee for him just for the sole fact that he went to look for Middle Earth when he traveled.
What do you think this podcast would be like?
If it was just book centered? If we went chapter by chapter?
If the book were...
What if we did that afterwards?
No, hell
no.
What
if we went chapter by chapter?
No, reading it is enough. No, what if the show were more faithful to the books?
It'd be better.
Well, it'd be shorter.
Be shorter, it'd be better.
How many episodes do you think it would take for them?
3 seasons, that's it.
You think that they dedicate a whole season to just the book?
I think so.
You don't think
they could get... I think it would be 3 seasons, 26 episodes per season.
No, I think it'd be less than that. I think it'd be like a British...
A British show?
Like so it'd be like eight episodes
a season.
But it'd
be super long episodes.
No, it'd be an hour. It'd be an hour episode.
They could get it done.
You could totally get it done,
yeah.
Right? 3 seasons, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, Q breaks out the truth key and gives it to Victoria, and so Penny and Victoria have a little talk, and she says, I don't want to help these people. I'm already helping a group, actually, that's all about freedom of information. So we're already trying to get at the library, but I don't want to, put myself at any unnecessary risk. But Penny's like, oh my god, is that 40-something hot chick that speaks only in ASL?
And you know who they're talking
it's
about.
It's Harriet! Another wife. I love her so much. But the thing is that Harriet hates Penny, Victoria hates Poppy, so what are they gonna do about it? Well, Harriet...
Find some new friends.
Harriet likes Katie, so they have to go find Katie. Where is Katie? Stuck in inpatient care, because they just left her there.
Poor Katie.
Poor Katie.
But Katie gets to do what she does best this episode.
Punch.
Right. She punches at least 2 people.
Yeah, but we see Irene, Julia, and Dean Fogg. This is where she's like, yo, do the favor for me to be decided. And she's like, here, take this dust and snort it like cocaine, and you'll get magic. It's from a very rare magical creature. Now, we know what the magical creature is.
No, we don't.
Yes.
I don't. What is it?
It's fairies.
The fairy dust?
It's fairy dust. So it's the ground bones of fairies.
No, wait. Why isn't it? Why can't it just be pixie dust?
It's the ground bone of fairies because fairies are enslaved people in the earth realm. And they have power in Fillory, but they do not have power on Earth.
But
so they are enslaved by the McAllisters, and they're slowly being killed. Cutting off their limbs and turning bone dust into magical cocaine that they smoke to do magic.
Hang on.
That's what's happening.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
So this reminds me of the analogy of the mustard seed.
Uh-huh.
And that is, back in prehistoric times, who looked at a mustard plant, said, oh, if I grind up this seed, mix it with water and vinegar, this will taste really good on hot dogs. Like, who made that leap of logic, right?
I don't know.
So who was looking at a fairy and went, going,
what if I cut off their leg
and then boil off all the skin
and dried it and then mashed up the
bone
and then made and it then into a fine dust it. And then snorted it.
That's the most bullshit. Like, I would believe it if they were like, look, we're like Tinkerbell and we shed pixie dust.
No,
and
it's then more if you horrifying.
Snort pixie
it's
dust.
It's more horrifying that they're.
Well, sure, it's more horrifying, them. But it doesn't make as much sense, right?
Well.
I mean, first of all, this isn't in the books.
Yes, no, it's not.
There's no pixies in the books. Fairies. There's no whatever. There's no fairies in the books. There's no pixie dust that you snort in the books.
There is a pixie in the books.
Who?
It's Professor Bigby. He is.
They're part pixie.
He teaches. He's like the physical kids.
But he's a half, right, or something.
No, he's like full. I think
full pixie.
And he has wings and everything.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But he's embarrassed to find them.
But where's the pixie's wings in the show?
They don't have them.
Why not?
They just float ominously
on a string,
a couple feet above in the air.
Not the
same. But, yeah, you gotta snort the pixie dust, basically.
All right, so they go get Katie.
They go get Katie, and they're breaking in, and...
Who's Crick?
Crick, I don't know, but basically the plan is, so Katie's in the high-risk ward. They gotta go and...
rescue them.
Rescue Katie. So after 15 days, you have an outside doctor come and check up on you and see if you're cleared to go, and then if you're cleared to go, you can just leave.
Is this real?
Presumably, I've never been in an inpatient or a medical ward
Neither
of
by.
That kind. Penny's like, should I be concerned how much both of you know about this?
And they're both like, well, we've been here before.
Yeah. And Poppy's like, I had a crazy time once. But they're like, we can just walk her out of there. You know, it'll be super easy to sneak in. It's
sure
just like the
will.
State. It's like state computers. It's state run. So it's super easy. And you know, Quentin is also, they're like, so who's going to steal the security badge? And Quentin's like, I will. Super competent. He's ready to go.
Magic,
I love it.
My magic hands.
He's magic hands. He's got that magic hands, that Q competence. But they go and they sneak in, they steal the security badge and they impersonate two doctors and they, Quentin, underneath the table while they're interviewing Katie, he slides her the truth key, and Penny's like, don't look at me, we're gonna get you out of here. Katie immediately looks at him and continues to look at him. And while she's describing Penny, because they're asking her about her, like, quote-unquote delusions about Penny, she slides the key back, and they get the key, but in the process, Quentin is trying to give her the security card, and they drop the security card, and that gets discovered. So they're like, fuck, whoa, how are we going to get Katie out now? But we don't get to see how.
Jailbreak,
yes. Then we see Elliot and Margo. They're having their little sippy time at the table. They've got their wine and they're talking politics.
I have an important question.
Yes.
Why is Elliot dressed like Han Solo?
Because he looks nice. Next question.
All right. My other question is, did you know that this episode is brought to you by Pineapple?
God.
Pineapple, it's a delicious treat that you should always share with your father. If you buy it at the store, you shouldn't just hoard it to yourself. You should share it. If there happens to be some in the refrigerator, you should go to your father and say, here, father, here's some delicious pineapple for you.
No.
I brought it home for you as a treat.
I did not bring it home
because
for
I
you.
Love you.
I did not bring it home for you. I brought it home for me.
That's what this episode is sponsored by.
No.
Pineapple.
No.
The perfect gift for your father.
No.
Buy some today.
No.
For your father.
No. No.
Brought to you by Filler and Father and Pineapple.
No. No. But we see Elliot and Margo. And Margo's like, I know you don't understand because the crown was just handed to you, but I
that's pretty
chose
I mean,
it, and I have been working to get this recognition.
Margo got the crown handed to her, too. They, all four of them just showed up, and they're like...
Yeah, but she wasn't king. She doesn't really... She never had actual power until...
But Elliot had to, like, marry a woman he didn't know, and
yes.
he had to give up his life on Earth to
yes.
work in Fillory.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. Margo has worked very
yes.
hard and made sacrifices and gave up her eyeball and things like that.
Yeah, dude.
But it seems a little unfair for her to be saying that to Elliot. I'd say that if anybody, she would say that to would be Quentin and just go, look,
you Quentin
just,
has not been here long enough to actually be a king in any capacity. He's not very kingly. And neither has Alice.
This show.
Which sucks.
Which is too bad, because that's what was fun about the books, right?
Yeah, is that he got bored of being king.
Yeah, so bored of being king that he took off his shirt, flew in the air with majestic purple lightning, and killed a whole castle full of people.
Yeah, yeah, awful. But they go, clink, clink, bitch, we're going to get this fairy queen, basically.
All right, let's get her.
And it's this wonderful lighting also. Margot looks really nice. Yeah, it was a
good scene. Good looking scene.
She looks really gorgeous. But then we see Penny and Katie.
Katie does what she does best.
Yells.
Punching.
Yes. Well, Penny says, we're going to get you out of here. She's like, why do you guys even care about me? You just want something from me? He's like, well, yeah, I'm going to go to the underworld and we need you to talk to Harriet. And she's like, this sucks. Like, I hate that we can't have normal problems and that you keep and she says to Penny, you know, you can't just keep throwing your life at every problem.
You know why Katie can't have a normal life and relationship?
Why? Because it's the magician?
Because she's on a TV show.
Yeah. But then Penny says, yell at me. So she yells and the nurse comes in and...
He gets punched.
Yeah, he gets punched and she breaks out. Go team! And they sneak out.
But we never get to see them leave the building. Well, so they get no sense of closure.
But then we see Alice. She's at Breakbill. She's trying to break into, like, where all their, like, meds and, like, potion supplies
are.
Was she
at?
Yeah, she's in the lab.
She was at
and we see Lipson, and she's, like, stealing a bunch of stuff that she's going to go sell.
I thought she was at, like, Lipson's apartment or something.
No, it was Breakbill's. Oh, right. She's stealing a bunch of stuff to sell. And
they didn't establish
and Alice looks
that
very
well.
Sickly, and so she gives Alice, like, a shit ton of steroids to take. And then we see Penny and Katie. They're sneaking out, and Penny's keeping watch, and Katie's hiding in the walls.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Hiding in the walls.
Who looks hotter?
Both. Done.
Sickly Alice or sickly Penny?
Oh, sickly Alice. Sickly Penny looks so sickly. He was, like, gray. It was so sad.
He looks pretty sickly.
But it just was very painful. But Penny is like, hey, listen, I want to tell you this before I go down to the underworld and probably get, you know, snatched up by the library and stuff, is that, you know, you are the best thing in my life and I'm so lucky to know you. Aww. And I love you. And Katie's like, he's like, I want you to be happy. And she's like, don't you fucking understand? I can't be happy
if you're
if I'm without you. And it's just, they love each other. They love each other so much. And then we see Poppy and Q, and they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? But then there's a code green because Katie, she snuck out. But Poppy's like, I got this. And she lights some shit on fire.
Green?
It's, you know, the patient has gotten out.
Right, but what is that? What was the ramifications of that?
That they have to lock everything down
right,
so they
everything
can get the patient again.
Closed and locked. And then Poppy said, I know the way out of this.
Yeah, so she lights stuff on fire because they have to follow fire
and
protocol.
And they open the doors. That was pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, and Q's like, how many times have you done this?
At least once.
Katie gets recognized by the nurse and the guards try and get her, but then Q jumps on the back of guard and there's punching and then they get out of there.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. And then we see Julia and Fog, and Julia snorts some fairy dust and she does a locator spell to find Alice. And, she notices that the magic feels and looks different when she casts it. It's, like, dark, and there's, like, dark energy around her hands.
She's becoming Dark Phoenix.
Well, it's because you're literally snorting the bones of fairies, and that's why it's bad and corrupted.
So, wait, fairy magic is bad?
No, it's that it's bad to probably snort the bones of dead people. It's probably bad to do that,
oh,
Dad.
Oh, shit, really? It's bad?
It's bad.
Ooh, I better stop.
But then we see the fairy queen, and she's like, ha-ha, Frey found the eggs. You don't have your leverage anymore. Let's talk. Your daughter betrayed, you guys. And she's like, okay, I'll hurt your daughter if you hurt my kids. And Frey's like, what? I was loyal to you. Family's about loyalty. She's like, well,
not in fairyland.
And Elliot says, you know, I can't be the dad that turns his back on his kid. And so he's like, okay, we'll give you the eggs in exchange for Frey. But Frey blurts out that she's not actually their daughter.
Dun, 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 dun. But then
dun, dun, dun.
She gets her mouth removed by the fairy.
No, not her mouth removed. No. She gets
silenced.
See,
that
would have
been more like what happened, right?
Didn't that was Ember who did that.
Oh, all right.
But, the fairy queen has lost her leverage because
Frey... The secret's out.
fragile human is not actually Elliot and Fenn's kid. Well, in fact, their daughter died in childbirth.
Right.
Which Fenn is very upset about.
Yes.
And so she has lost her leverage.
So it's she a no tough longer time. Gets a bathtub.
She no longer, well, no, they're getting the bathtub is no. what it is. And then we see Harriet and Katie and they're talking in a little diner. And she's like, Harriet is like, why would I want to do a favor for someone who hasn't even paid me back for the first time? And Katie's like, no, listen.
Harriet is being a little petty.
Well, you know, she wasn't paid back. And it was a huge thing she did. She got the magic battery for Katie.
Right.
And helped with that information. So she's like, okay, here, you can do this for me. Can you rob the library for me? We need a special book.
Small favor.
And Katie's like, sure, let's fucking go. So now we're going to do a heist at the library.
How many heists does there need to be this
season? There's a heist every season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. The best one is in season 4.
You've seen the best heist.
Shout out to Bad News Bear. It's the best episode. It's not my favorite, but it is one of the best.
Have we reached your favorite episode yet?
No, not yet. We still have not reached my favorite episode of season 3. So then Penny and Katie have this really heartfelt argument again about, you know, how, you know, Penny's going to be stupid now because he's going down to the underworld to go get the key stuff for everyone. And she's like, you know, wouldn't it be funny if we survived this? Wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be funny, Dad?
No.
If they survived?
No, it'd be nice.
It would be so nice. But he's like, well, I gotta go become a book and get eaten by a dragon. And then he travels to the underworld. And then we see Alice, and she's paying a vampire to bite her and turn her into a vampire. But Julia appears with her magic and she intimidates the vampire if Alice was a vampire.
No, but how awesome would it be if it were like a Spike cameo?
Oh, he's like, I'm not going to fuck with any hedge witch Buffy. And Julia's like, she puts up a shield and she's like, Alice, this isn't the way. We have to like switch the magic back because it's like slowly killing you.
And there's a magical cat fight.
Well, it's really not much of a fight. Julia puts up a shield and then Alice growls and like throws a force wave and Julia gets whacked against a wall, which has happened like multiple times to her.
She will continue
to happen to her. This keeps happening. Julia keeps getting thrown against walls and like dying or getting extremely injured.
So, you know, it would have saved a lot of problems if Julia had just died. Because then she could have gone to the underworld, gotten the key from Benedict and saved Penny,
but they wouldn't be able
trouble.
To get it back.
No, she's
you
magic.
You can't escape the underworld.
Sure,
once
she
you're
can.
There.
If you're a goddess, you can.
But she doesn't know that that's what's happening to her yet. Like she knows she has god magic, but she doesn't know the extent of it.
Yeah, she just goes, "I'm a god. I'm gonna leave the underworld. See ya."
But she wakes up, and Alice has transferred all her magic back to Julia, and she says, "You know, ever since Q brought me back, I haven't known like." What to do with myself. And she's like, what do people do in limbo do? You know, it's excruciating. Oh, funny. You're so funny.
I am funny. They've already established that there's bowling in limbo.
In limbo.
Yeah.
But but Julia says, you know, I still see Reynard. And Alice is like, because of the magic? And Julia says, no, because it happened. And, you know, when things happen, they leave a mark. And you've got to just deal with it, and it takes time. And
you know what this very touching speech made me realize?
What?
That the writers on this show are just mean.
Yeah, they are very mean.
Yeah, I don't know if I could write that kind of show like that, where you're just constantly mean
sucks.
To a character.
It sucks.
That's why I have trouble writing.
It sucks because if you get no victories,
yeah.
then it's not fun to watch.
Right.
And my thing is, like, if you're watching a show, and the show ends in a way that makes you regret ever enjoying the show,
right.
then you've done a bad job with your show.
Yeah, that you're not. So wait, are you saying though that every show should have a happy ending?
I'm not saying every show should have a happy ending. I'm saying that if you regret having invested time in the piece of media, then that's not a good piece of media. A show can have a very satisfying ending if it's tragic. It's just the tragedy has to be satisfying and earned. Yeah. yeah. And if you're just having senseless tragedy, then it just becomes a slog that no one enjoys, except for maybe you because you're like a sicko.
Well, you also can't like have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have happy all the time.
You can't have Kylo Ren get a goodbye kiss with Rey and also die at the same time. Right? Like, you can't have both endings. That was lame.
I'm not a Reylo, guys. I think that kiss was stupid as hell. Jack, my brother, and I laughed in the theater when that man died.
Yes.
Because it was deserved.
He had it coming.
He had it coming. Because
he killed Harrison Ford.
Yes. Yes, from the very beginning. But this is not a Star Wars sequel, if whatever podcast. Only. No. But anyway, that is to say, basically, if you regret investing time in a piece of media, then it's a bad piece of media. Because that means you've basically betrayed literally everyone who has put all this effort and given back to you. You know? It just sucks.
I could say something very pointed and poignant here, but I will withhold my statement.
But
this seems to be a common trend, though, with things that you enjoy.
That I enjoy.
Yes. Do you like to be betrayed by your hobbies? Maybe we could find you a nice hobby that is happy.
Hobby?
Or, you know, whatever, some interest, right, that you're into that doesn't end in betrayal for you.
And trauma.
Maybe give me a week, I'll come up with something. maybe we'll have an in-between episode watch something
nice
that you can get into that's only one
just
episode.
The next gen.
No, this is not a Star Trek episode. Nor will it ever be
not
a
yet.
Star Trek Next Generation
not
episode.
Yet.
Nope. You can do that with your mother.
I mean,
that
I'm
can
down.
Be that can be
next podcast, next
what would,
gen.
That's your mother. What is it? What would be something and mother?
It would just be the Next Generation, because that's what I am. I am the next generation.
How about both generations?
Both, no.
How about...
But sadly, as you said, it's not a Star Trek podcast.
Sorry, Mom.
But Alice says, you know, it's not his anymore. This magic, it's not yours anymore.
Nope.
It's not his anymore. It's yours. It's yours now.
And yes. What embrace you make it, of it, Julia.
And this is what Julia has been told
grow.
Before. Grow. You know, there's a song.
That are played in the episode.
That Lauren Fairweather wrote that is about Julia growing and coming into her own. Yes. And it's on the Peaches and Plum album.
There you go.
Yeah,
good
you
job,
should listen to it.
Song.
Stream it on Spotify, buy it on Bandcamp.
All right.
But then we see Fenn sharpening a knife.
Yes.
As she should. And
although Fenn doesn't need to remind
everyone that she likes knives.
Every time she has a knife.
Well,
my father was a knife maker.
Remember, they don't know how to write.
They don't know how to write Fenn.
They don't know how to write Fenn. So they're like, all she likes is having a family and having knives, and that's
right. Exactly. And, oh, what a contrast, right? Like
knives and family?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. Like, there can't be a woman who likes knives and likes having a family.
Crazy. Right? I know, right? But she says that, you know, when she was taken to the fairy realm and she had their child, the baby was taken away from her and she never heard her cry. And so she's like, I should have known. Why did I delude myself this whole time? And she says, you know, I wanted to feel like a family, so I tried to will it to be real.
Poor Fenn.
And she's just, it's so sad. And Elliot gives her a hug. And
maybe
she's
this
like,
is
I can't
when
be
I wrote,
in Fillory right
the
now.
The writers are too mean.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. But it sucks. It sucks for Fenn, you
it
know?
Does suck.
It's a garbage time.
Fenn, the character, deserves more.
Yeah. She deserves a whole character arc.
Or at least
maybe
an
just a rewrite, you know?
Right.
Just like a whole.
You know, maybe they should have made Fenn more like Fenn in the book.
Lesbian? Yes, I agree.
Well, but like...
And a monk? Monk lesbian? Yes, I agree.
Well, but what I'm saying is it could have been like Fenn in the book, who was like a big, strong...
Adventurer
type.
Yeah.
And so they should have still had the forced marriage. And
but
I said before
it would be great if it were a lavender marriage, because then that would
wait, what's that mean?
A lavender marriage is when it's two gay people getting married.
Sure.
And because,
like, for tax purposes.
Yeah, for tax purposes. Because then it would be super interesting to have this, like, at first you think it's going to be this forced kind of heterosexual thing where Elliot is trapped in this thing. But then we realize that it's both of them, and we get this beautiful kind of, like, exploration of sexuality and love in a platonic sense between two people who are married, who are also exploring other relationships and, outside of that marriage.
And you know that they...
And then the conflict doesn't become her trying to force herself on him. It becomes more matters of the state and of the adventure, because she knows so much about Fillory. She's like, I can advise you about this stuff. And meanwhile, Elliot's still, you know, grieving Mike and stuff, so he's going through that.
And then you could have Fenn do the physical stuff of, like, fighting and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And then that way you get some adventure in there. But then you also, maybe then, you have Bingle.
Uh-huh.
And it's Bingle and Fenn have kind of a bromance. They don't need to be in love.
Hell yeah. I would love to see them be besties.
Besties, because they're both good fighters. Right. Yeah. And they're like, they find mutual respect.
You could get that scene from The Magician King when you have Aurel fighting Bingle, remember, because they have that whole tournament to find out so who is going to go Fenn on the quest. That could be Fenn fighting Bingle,
right? Exactly. And
I cannot spoil things, but you know, maybe who knows what'll happen in the future. But I'm still mad about certain things in the future, so
okay,
yeah,
you can stay mad.
I will. All right. I will stay mad. Thank you.
So the next scene,
then we see Poppy and Quentin. Quentin is stressing.
Hang on, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
is this the first time we've seen Quentin's bedroom in the cottage?
I
don't ever remember seeing his room.
We've seen it before.
Really?
Yes, his bedroom is like green, and it has like a big bed. It's in the third episode. It's when he gets roofied by Margot. For the trials. He's, like, in his bedroom.
Okay.
Hanging out. And he's got some magic posters and stuff. I don't know what room
it is. That was a bedroom. I thought it was Q's room.
But I don't know what room it is.
And it had some sort of weird Pink Floyd-looking poster in the background. It could have
been
distracting.
It could have been Alice's bedroom. I don't know. Katie's, Julie, I don't know.
Alice's bedroom. Why does Alice even have a bedroom? Well, I guess Alice would have a bedroom. Alice had a bedroom. Again. But wouldn't they have, like, Alice is dead. She's in there. Let's clear off and put Todd in there or something.
No, Todd sleeps in the attic.
No, Todd sleeps in with Gollum.
In the basement. He sleeps in the closet.
Gollum, that, you know, Quentin beat to death with a shovel. Yeah.
But Quentin is stressing over all of the different things that could go wrong during this heist.
Oh, of course.
And Poppy says, you know, you're thinking too much. And she kisses him. And she's like, let's have some fun, you know?
Poppy, and let me short-circuit your brain. I'm sorry. Yeah. Felicia Day, maybe you're a lovely human being and all that, but I just don't feel like this character is right. I don't like that this character is named Poppy and usurping the name of a good character from the book. This character is just a weasel, and I don't like her. She has supplanted Penny as the worst character on the show.
Well, Penny has never been the worst character on the show, so thank you.
No, I mean as in, like, the person who acts the worst.
No, he does not.
He's still kind of a jerk, even though he's...
That's part of his lovable personality. Yes.
That he's a jerk?
Yes.
Lovable?
Yes. He's a lovable jerk.
So you can be a jerk and be lovable?
Yes, you can. That's what a tsundere is.
Maybe there's hope for me after all.
But then we see the Fairy Queen with Margot and Elliot. They're in a carriage being driven somewhere. And now...
Why are they getting in a carriage with the Fairy Queen?
I don't know. That's
just dumb.
But the Fairy Queen says now all of Fillory has ownership of the bathtub and can see us.
Right.
And... Margo says...
But why are they saying see us?
Well, all the fairies.
Right, but they were also saying they can see you too.
Yeah.
I get
well, that's
that.
What she
what
says.
Does
so
that
she
mean,
so Elliot asks, what was your end game? Like, were you just trying to terraform and that's why? And she's like, oh, well, it's actually deeper than that. And Margo's like, no, it was simple. You wanted to make us look bad, so you made us force us to marry the floaters and to, you know, do all these other stupid shit so we would look weak in front of our people.
Right.
And she says, well, I can no longer protect you, no longer help you, meaning that maybe she was, like, stopping the public from, like, rioting about it. But that's exactly what happens. The Fairy Queen disappears and an angry mob pulls them through the carriage and pulls them out and takes them away.
To where?
To where? To be put on trial.
Is that what the next episode is?
Maybe.
Is it a trial episode? Like a legal drama?
No.
Oh, see, now that would have been interesting. Right, a whole episode that's just a court case.
No, the next is a really good episode, actually.
All right, well, no spoilers.
Well, I shall not. But this is a spoiler-full podcast.
All right. Hey, so what would you survive this episode?
What would you rate this?
What would I rate this? I don't know. I have mixed emotions about this episode. I mean, we get Todd and Fenn and Frey in New York, but we don't really get to see them do that. So that's a minus 1 point. Because they didn't get to go to New York. I mean, we didn't get to see him in New York. There was I don't know, it was like a 3 maybe.
A 3.
Yeah. It wasn't great. Yeah. It's like, I mean, they're wrapping stuff up, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But this whole plan of Penny going to the underworld is stupid. I don't like fake Poppy. I'm getting kind of tired of, like, you know, I mean, this is just as bad as Fetch Quest, right? Like, it's Fetch Quest, but it's also, like, just one dumb plan after bad plan after another. These characters are being written, like, terrible things are being written about them. They don't get a break. Like, you're right, you know, you gotta like the character and give them a moment of victory and feel happy for them, and we're just not getting that. I know it's the nature of drama, but to be honest, it's getting tiresome.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like halfway through the season and I'm still like, oh my God, we still have another 6 episodes to go.
But the next 2 are really good.
Well, that's what you say.
That's what I say because I'm right.
We'll find out. We'll find out what the score is for mm-hmm. them next time. But as this one, I'd say this is maybe a 3.
Mm.
Might even be a 2.5.
Oh, interesting.
It's pretty low.
I give this a 4.5.
What? Why a 4.5?
Because I'm a nicer grader than you.
Yeah.
You're grading on a
curve?
Yes. I really like Penny and Katie's whole, like, relationship bits this episode. Thought it was really touching. And I love Quentin and Penny's conversations as well. I love when they interact together. And it was really cool to see Elliot be, like, a good dad in that moment. And for him to have that conversation with Margot. And I love the Fairy Queen. I always gotta give a point for the Fairy Queen. She's the best.
She's evil.
And Tick was funny in this episode.
How was Tick funny?
I liked
the chicken?
I liked the chicken pox. It was funny.
Right.
I enjoyed the chicken pox. But yeah, 4.5, you know?
You're being very kind.
Yes, I know.
If you're on Twitter,
don't worry, once we get to season 4 I'm gonna be so violent with my ratings. This is me being nice because I like this entire season.
Yeah,
even the ones that are still lesser than the, you know, the majority is all really good, as opposed to everything else.
I did not, in your vernacular, find this one to be a banger.
Uh-huh. Okay,
all right, so what, let's escape the episode.
Uh-huh.
And what is going on in the world of the magicians?
Right. Fandom. Now, there is the Magicians What If event, which is what if
Wolverine were in the Magicians?
Yeah, literally anything.
What if Breakbills were actually Professor Xavier's school for mutants?
Yes.
What if Captain America met Conan the Barbarian and they both went off to Fillory on an adventure?
Yes. Anything. I see you have fanfiction ideas.
No, I'm just regurgitating what if plots from the famous Marvel comic book.
Then there's also the Magician's Big Bang, which is still going on. Artists can still sign up for that. That's all right, on Tumblr. Artists,
get to it.
Yeah, get to it. And other than that, that's about the only things that are happening that
Taking
I remember
a little break
right
in
now.
The world of the Magicians.
But before we get to plugs, we have emails.
What?
We have...
Somebody actually took the time to write to us?
Yeah.
Aww.
So there's 2. So this first email is from Chelsea Kidd.
Chelsea.
It says, subject line says, your show.
Okay.
I just caught up on your show and you said to send emails, so I'm doing that, just that, because it seems only fair since I get enjoyment from your show for free, and also because it seems like justifiable. justifiable procrastination.
And also we're being desperate and begging for emails.
I love that you had Hale on and loved your Sergio episode 2. Though, of course, my favorite guest is Evelyn's mom. I am on a quest to listen to every single episode of every single Magician's podcast. Yours is my 4th or 5th, and it holds up well among the others. I only started watching the show once. All 5 seasons were on Netflix, but I watched it about 6 times since then and started the aforementioned podcast quest. And I'm not even a podcast listener, generally. And none of my friends have really watched the show. And the ones who didn't really feel strongly about it. So listening to shows like yours helps satisfy my need for discussion, and I appreciate it very much. Even if it makes me think, what if I had this kind of conversation with my dad and have a nightmarish reaction? To answer questions from an earlier episode, one of my favorites of your show, if I remember correctly, I am pro-dad jokes. When wielded responsibly, I am ambivalent about Disneyland. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I am so excited that there's a Magician's podcast that is still running, so I don't feel quite as late to the fandom. I'm not even a fandom person, generally. I was cyberbullied by Harry Potter fans when I was 9, before cyberbullying was a thing my school counselor knew about. But The Magicians is a show that feeds my soul, and I need more however I can get it. So you're doing important work, as far as I'm concerned. Thanks for making your show, Chelsea.
Well, first of all, Chelsea, thank you very much for writing this. Thank you so much. Secondly, not that I am very deeply engrossed in the Magician's fandom, but I've not noticed as many cyber bullies in Magician's fandom as there might be in Harry Potter.
Oh, that's true.
And then the third thing is
Disneyland.
Oh no, how do we rate compared to all the other Magician's podcasts?
Hopefully better.
Maybe are we in the top?
If there's, I hope we're the number one.
I hope we're number one.
We're
as
number
well.
One.
But yeah. I don't mind being number 2.
No, number one. We have to be number one.
All right. So let us, number Chelsea, write back and tell us where we rank on the other Magician's podcasts. What number are we?
Number one.
How many keys are we?
7 out of 7.
Compared to the others.
7 out of 7.
Well, thank you for writing, Chelsea.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
And we have a second email. This is also from Emma Kane.
Oh, I thought you were going to say from another Chelsea.
No.
Did we have like all Eleanors or something?
All
right?
E-names. All E-names.
Right. Is this Emma who wrote to us before?
Yes, this is Emma
who
wrote to us
before.
Wow,
our first second letter?
I know.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Emma.
This subject line says, oh boy, episode 6. Hi, Evelyn and Scott. When I saw the new episode, I thought, time to grab toaster strudel and tissues. Ooh. Sticking to the positives, though, there was a lot of good in this one, but it really deserves that 4. I'm a big Fairy Queen fan, sorry, Scott, and just a Candace Kane fan. The only thing better, if the Magicians had chosen to keep the Fairy Queen on as a main character slash foil, would be if her white horse had been a unicorn. Just saying.
Okay.
I appreciate how y'all guide listeners through the mechanics of the plot and show. It's always insightful and so entertaining. But also the spontaneity and variety is just downright enjoyable. It's so great to see each of your individual expertise, and I feel secondhand smart after listening. Good luck on the video game, Evelyn. It's going to knock our socks off. I hope your dad is incubating some ideas for his fanfic. Can't wait to see that baby hatch. And there's a little smiley face.
Aw, well, it's never going to happen.
That's rude. You will do it.
The fanfiction?
Yeah.
Well, I told you the conditions of the fanfiction.
Well, do it.
Is that if we get 100 people writing in emails saying, I want Mr. Evelyn's dad to write a Magician's fan fiction.
You should just do it.
I should just
make everyone happy, and then we'll do a special episode where we read it.
I don't want to make people happy.
We'll read it on the podcast.
You don't want to make
me happy?
I want to make you happy.
You should write a fanfic.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe if I'm further along and we're in the doldrums of season 4.
Season 4. The end of season 4.
That you'll need to
need
to be cheered up.
I will need it.
Maybe I'll write a happy ending for
a crackfic or something.
What does that mean?
That means it's like a wild, crazy premise. So, for instance, I have one that's called Perverum, and it's about Quentin turning into a frog.
That's not crazy.
That is.
That happened to Thor.
I know, but that's like the premise of a crackfic is like something strange happening.
No, they turned into foxes. How's that crazy?
I know, but this is like.
That's not crazy.
Instead of.
It fits in the fiction.
I know it does.
It fits better in
it
the
It would
fiction
have been
than,
a better ending than fits, what happened in season 4.
It fits better in the fiction than some of the things
yeah,
that happened
it does.
On this show.
Thank you. That's why
I
wrote the Magician's books.
Did you?
Did I?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What kind of gift did you get from your dad at Christmas?
We don't need to talk about that. You can explain it if you want.
No, I'm not. I'll just, maybe you can
It's a
post,
mystery.
Maybe you can post a picture of it.
Maybe I'll post a picture.
Yes. You got
maybe
awesome,
not.
You got an awesome magician's gift from your dad.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's it. What do we...
where can people find us?
Where can't they find us?
You can find us, the podcast, Fillory and Father, at Fillory Father on Twitter, at Fillory and Father on TikTok, and fillory and father@gmail.com. Send us emails. Tell us what you thought about the show. We'll read them out loud because we're getting some now.
We will repeatedly say your name and tell you how much we love you.
Yes, we will. We will tell you how much we love
and
you.
And how wonderful you are.
Thank you, Aaron, for live tweeting the show. When Hale was on, I know she hasn't caught up, but you know what? Points for that, at least. Yes. Thank you for that, Aaron. We appreciate it, and we love you.
Yeah, we love hearing from you on Twitter. We love hearing from you on email, whatever.
TikTok.
Like, give us some likes, you know, because that's how the algorithm works.
Yeah.
All right, where can we find...
Where can people find you?
Me?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to find me. They just want to see your stuff.
Well, no.
Because you do beautiful art.
Tell us about your stuff.
I haven't done anything lately. I've fallen behind. I'm on Twitter where I've been tweeting about my history of playing video games now. I was doing my history of making video games, and now I'm doing my history of playing video games and what games mean things to me. So a little bit of history, a little bit of video games, a little bit of nerdery. And then I am on Instagram, although I haven't posted Instagram in a while. And then what else have I done?
What have you done?
That's it. I shut down my Patreon.
It just wasn't.
It was a lot of work. I apologize to my patrons, but you know, sometimes you got to just move on.
Yep.
So and then. That's it. Where can they find you?
And you can find me at @wow_then on Twitter and at @fishyduaros on Instagram and also on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers.
You still have a Patreon?
I still have a Patreon.
Who knows? Maybe I'll
support
your
Patreon. If
you're
one of my dad's
patrons,
maybe do the switch to me.
Do the switch over. I don't know if any of my patrons listen to
Fillory and
Father.
I post whips and art and stuff, and I have not... Work in progress.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been posting much video game stuff recently because it's finals week, but soon my classes will be over.
And then you get what?
I get free time.
You get a summer vacation?
Work. Yeah.
What is that?
I'm just going to work.
I don't even know what a summer vacation is.
I'm just going to work the whole time.
I'm done with semester and I don't even get, I get a week off. That's it.
Well,
that's not great.
That 1 week we'll party it up.
Maybe
like
I'll go to Disneyland.
No, you won't.
Why not? It's
open
now.
You'll bring
now.
Back the plague.
I'll bring back fudge.
No, just the plague.
No, I won't
plague
bring back,
fudge.
I won't bring back the plague. I'll double
plague
mask,
fudge.
wear a shield, a heat shield.
A beekeeper costume,
wear a beekeeper,
too.
A fencing helmet.
Yeah, gloves.
Cover myself in Vaseline.
Socks and more socks
right,
and shower caps on your feet.
Socks.
Plugs for your eyes and
right.
nose so you can't
bring
breathe.
A rebreather.
In your ears, too.
I will be a giant walking...
And we'll roll you in bubble wrap and then put you in a hamster bubble.
Just to make me safe.
Just to
and
make you
safe.
Put me
in a wheelchair.
And oh, the hamster bubble will be in a wheelchair.
All right.
And someone will wheel
then
you
then
around.
Then I'll have to go through all the back entrances and not get to see all the cool lines
yeah,
for the rides.
Yeah, it'll be like that. And then you'll be safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll be fine.
No, you won't. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Guess what?
What?
We did it.
We did it. Yay. Thank you for listening to...
Fillory and Father, the podcast,
the
TM.
Podcast. TM? Trademark?
Yes. Yep.
We're not trademark.
All right, copyright.
Okay.
Hooray, bye.
Thank you, bye.